1984 is kind of always, I mean, it's always relevant.
Yes.
But we do seem to be in an age of nearly self-surveillance, never mind government surveillance and cameras and visual recognition and things. So why do this now? I mean,
I've had it in my mind's eye for quite a while, the last 2 or 3 years. And I remember speaking to Jimmy when we were talking about it a while back, and he was going, will it be relevant then when we're programming it? And I went, oh. And I think he knew. And yes. I went, yes, of course, it's going to get much, much worse. And unfortunately, it has. I mean, you know, it's just so relevant. And being written in 1948, you would think that Orwell had a crystal ball, do you know what I mean? Especially that line about the screens and people never taking their eyes away from the screens long. It's like, but what he did have, obviously he didn't have a crystal ball, but what he did have was a really amazing understanding of the human condition and our weakness, mm-hmm. which is apathy. And I think, you know, if you're looking at it from a positive way, I think this production really shakes us up. It's not easy viewing. I want the audience to feel that discomfort. And I think we all need to take responsibility for what we do in our lives. I think this adaptation is so clever that it kind of turns the cameras back on us and makes us go, okay, we are complacent in this, or we are, you know, we should take responsibility for what we put online, how we choose to live, you know. So it's absolutely fascinating.
And in terms of the adaptation, I mean, presumably there's a number of adaptations of 1984 over the years to choose from. What's special about this one, or what's
it's brilliantly written?
Although it's the best one.
It's the best one. But
is it quite a recent adaptation?
It is. It's just fantastic. It's bold and it's immersive, and it's very clever. It really does appeal to the academics, people that love the novel, and I absolutely adore the novel. So it's very true to that. They're not taking any liberties with that, but they have created a framework that is so clever that addresses all the themes, but it's very, very slick and it's tight. And it's, I mean, when I first read it, it was like, oh, I need to read that again, hang on, and again, okay. And we actually spoke to Duncan McMillan, one of the writers, and he was very generous with his time. He's just so passionate. And he said, just wanted to talk to you, just, you know, because our script is very much our process, and it's maybe, you know. But I got it, and it's just absolutely fascinating where they took their sources from and just a range of things.
And should people expect it to be quite kind of modern, set in 2020, or set in the future, the past, or is that they don't need to know?
I don't think you need to know. I mean, we're not going to be, I think I'm not making any deliberate parallels to today. Yes. I think
they're not going to walk around with iPhones.
No, we're not going to have Trump masks and all that, anything. We don't need that. It's so evident in the writing. So without giving too much away, it's almost a hybrid. You can take on the thought that Winston is Orwell in some ways, do you know what I mean? In the fact that it's that horrible hallucinations and nightmare and fever when he was writing it and stuff like that. So it could be 1948, it could be 1984, it could be 2084. So I think that's the not obstacle, but the challenge, exciting challenge for the creative team to pull all that together. Yeah,
and I mean, Bruiser normally come at things. Often, what you choose to do, it's very physical, very fast, very kind of quite pacey comedy. Lots of tripping up and lots of using props and stuff. Do we expect kind of classic Bruiser things in it, or is this a kind of more serious?
Well, it is certainly serious.
Are there any jokes in 1984 in the book that aren't really?
Not really.
It's quite a departure.
I mean, Bruiser, you know, have built a reputation for physical, fast, choral work and ensemble work. So, yes, we have the 39 Steps of Colin Bourne's, but you also have things that we've done in the past, like Blood Wedding and stuff. So that's very much pared down. But I think what's what links our style to this is the choral element, the very strong ensemble. So, but no, it won't be slapstick or farce or anything like that. It's so do not worry.
Come thinking that that's
what we're going to do. Yeah, do not worry. No, yes, no.
People walk out in the interval going, it's not a funny audience tonight. Yes.
No, no.
And in terms of set, because some, Richard, quite often your set, well, I mean, what I get out of it, I suppose, what I notice is props are really important. So nearly everything on set is used for something. Sometimes if you don't need a set, then there isn't much because you can get rid of, so it's kind of very pared down. Can it continue to be like that? Because lots of screens? And
yes and no. Again, it's a bit of a hybrid. So the set itself is large, as in the overall shape of it. But we're going to use everything that we have in that opening scene, and everything will be used. There's no big set changes or anything. The way the script is written, there's no need for that. It's bum, 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 bum. So for that, we'll be okay.
So it's still, it still fits within the larger Bruiser style. Okay. And so you're not into rehearsals yet, so
no.
The cast, they've read it, but they haven't actually started to think about it.
I did send out, because it's so meaty, do you know what I mean, more than any other show I've done in a long, long time, just the amount of resources and just about Orwell and about, you know, and I've been reading and watching all these films for months, so I've sent them a cheat sheet. If they wish to, they can
do some homework.
They can do a bit of homework.
What's it made you think about in terms of, because you've read this a number of years ago, you've kind of lived with it for a while, you're now immersing in it because you need to figure out how the set...
Yes, I can't wait to share.
You've got what do you think it's going to be, and then they'll change it on you. But so, I mean, what's it kind of highlighted in your thinking?
I suppose freedom of thought, I suppose, is the... And the notion of doublethink, just with this adaptation specifically, the idea that theatre in itself is doublethink. You know you're in a theatre. It's very Bruiser. But you know you're in a theatre. You're not in Oceania, or you know. And we trick ourselves. We willingly do that. And I think what's going to be really interesting in rehearsals is how the actors deal with that, because when I was talking to Duncan McMillan, he was saying that because we're talking, you know, is Juliet the thought police, or is she, you know, truly, like, you know, we were just having it, and that was one of those eternal questions in rehearsals, and it's the idea of it can be both, it's double think, so the actors almost have to go through a process of double think themselves, and we don't provide the answers, and the novel doesn't. No. It could go either way, and this script can go either way. So you're offering the audience that no solutions, but it's such a piece for questions, and therefore you relate it to yourself, and you start to. So that for me is frustrating and wonderful all in one, because I keep going down rabbit holes and I follow that through, and then somebody suggests something else and I follow, so it's just never ending. So I'm really looking forward to getting into the room and going, wow, here we go, right? And exploring that physically instead of
just thinking about it,
get it done. But it is daunting because I love it so much, do you know what I mean?
You
don't want to mess it up. But we've got a great team, and everyone seems on the same page. So it's not set as you would expect. I'm basing it here. I'm basing it here because it could be anywhere, and it makes sense.
You can have vocal accents,
Absolutely, and therefore...
It doesn't have to be posh English.
No. I think the audience will connect more if they will see themselves and...
In terms of the rehearsal process, what are you most looking forward to, other than just seeing how nine people kind of take to it? But I mean, what's the...
I'm looking forward to all the rabbit holes that I have gone down as to what this means, what we could do with this. I'm looking forward to sharing that, because I think the amount of research, which I love doing, but in there lies madness. And if I didn't speak to people, you were going to be that engrossed in it.
We could just have a director's chat once a night with no play.
Exactly.
An hour and a half with Lisa explaining what we could have done. We couldn't quite decide.
So I'm looking forward to just getting it on its feet and start moving it and finding what works for us as a group.